Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today's first text is part of Peter's Pentecost sermon, the first Christian sermon ever preached. We remember that day and we'll celebrate it again in a few weeks, a day on which Jews from throughout the Middle East were gathered to Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish festival of Shavuot. There were, we are told, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome. And I'm always sorry for whoever signs up to read that text. All over the Mediterranean world. Some of them came to celebrate the rites of one religion, Judaism, and went home with a new faith. Faith in one who was crucified, died, was buried, and yet rose again. They went home not having seen the resurrected Jesus for themselves, but believing the witness of Peter and the other apostles that Jesus had in fact risen from the dead and was exalted at the right hand of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit who inspired Peter's sermon also fell on those who heard the proclamation, who went home then with a new faith and a new message of hope. Today's second reading is part of Peter's letter to some of these new believers. In the part that we didn't read at the very beginning of the letter, it is addressed to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And yes, some of those places should sound familiar. The homes of some of the people who had heard Peter's Pentecost sermon. These were Jews of the diaspora who lived in various parts of modern-day Turkey. Peter's address to them is significant. He calls them the elect. Now, these Jews would have already understood themselves to be part of God's chosen people. And Peter is affirming to them that God has chosen them again to be part of this new community of faith. That Peter calls them strangers in the world recognizes that they were living their faith in a culture doubly hostile to them. First, because they were part of a Jewish minority living in a place that was marked by pagan worship. And secondly, because within that already small minority, they were a minority again because they had come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Surely a challenging environment, even though the ferocious Roman persecutions that were to come had probably not yet reached them. They were outsiders. Legally, they couldn't inherit property, and in many ways did not enjoy normal legal protections that other citizens had. Peter writes because he wants them to have hope, even in the middle of a context of trials and suffering. Now, those of us who have been born and raised in the West don't necessarily equate being a Christian with suffering. But the reality is that from the beginning, there have been contexts like Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, where suffering was a given if one was following Christ. Discrimination in various forms was rampant, and the temptation to lose faith and to fall into despair would have been very real. The sad truth is that even today, there are many places in the world where being a Christian comes with similar discrimination, challenge, and suffering. And in fact, some of you have come from such places. Open Doors 2026 World Watch List says that globally, 388 million Christians face high levels of persecution, often including violence and murder. One in seven Christians worldwide face persecution. One in five in Africa, and two in five in Asia, according to their statistics. There are still places in the world where suffering just goes along with being Christian. So maybe we want to just write off this whole letter and say that was for them, not for us. But I think that we can make a case that everyone experiences suffering of some kind. And so whatever form of suffering we may be wrestling with, Peter's call to hope is equally relevant for us. The hope that Peter proclaims in this letter is based in everything that God has done and in God's promises for the future. It starts with the notion of belonging. For people who lived as strangers in a hostile environment, that sense of belonging to the family of God would have felt like a precious gift. Belonging continues to be hugely important for our sense of well-being. People who live in loneliness and isolation experience much more stress and depression. One of the gifts of faith communities is to provide that sense of fellowship and belonging. God calls us to live together in hope and to offer that context of hope to others. Peter talks about a new birth into a living hope. In some Christian contexts, people will ask, "Are you born again?" They are usually asking about a definitive time of having come to know and accept Jesus. But I like the answer that one of my professors had. He would say, "Yes, I am born again every day." That's the kind of new birth that Peter was writing about, an ongoing experience of God's mercies, which are, in fact, new every day. There was an advertisement jingle that did capture a spiritual truth when it said, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." That's the kind of ever-renewing life to which we are called in Christ. And Peter talks about God's ultimate promise, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. The language of inheritance is not accidental, as Peter was addressing people who could not inherit anything on this earth. Hope in God is not just for this life, but for the eternity that God has prepared for us. But in the meantime, we need to continue to live in circumstances that are sometimes a challenge. We know that salvation has been accomplished in Christ and that our eventual destination will be heaven. But we live in the in-between times, and it is in this intermediate time that we are so in need of hope. Hope requires us to look forward. It requires a perspective beyond what we see today. An eternal perspective sure doesn't hurt. And hope is not based on what is around us. It is based on God's promises and built on faith. Hope gives us the courage to hold on to what we know to be true, even when we are being challenged. Sometimes, when life feels difficult, we can feel stuck. Hope looks forward and can make possible perseverance in the face of every difficulty. Hope gives us the ability to keep going. Hope is not passive, but active. Genuine hope moves us to positive action, while despair can sometimes just paralyze us, but hope moves us forward. Psychologists tell us two other things about hope: that hope can heal the brain, and that hope is contagious. When we live in hope, that hope can lift the spirits of others around us. And we don't have to just wait for hope to show up. We can nurture hope. From a faith perspective, we nurture hope by reading and reflecting on the promises of God, by praying and casting all our cares on God, knowing that He cares for us, and socially, by keeping the company of those who share the faith and hope we have in God. We can have joy knowing that we are shielded by God's power and that we will receive the goal of our faith, the eternal salvation of our souls. In the meantime, we continue to pray that the God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him. We continue to pray that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.